Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:29 Pacific Standard Time, and today is February 23rd. Well, China remains closed for the Chinese New Year holiday. It won't open again until Wednesday. The Hong Kong market, on the other hand, is open, and it was relatively unchanged in here today. Well, I guess when you look at China generally, that there are so many different aspects to the market that it's often difficult to gain a broad-based perspective of exactly what's going on there. But there's certainly a disparity now between Hong Kong and mainland China in that Hong Kong's markets have not rallied to any meaningful extent, and that the Hong Kong market is trading at a significant discount in terms of valuations. Well, the reason for bringing that up is because we continue to see these news stories about how stretched the US market is. Well, that's certainly open to conjecture. It would really depend on how one wants to approach the market. Certainly, that there was a lot of commentary a few months ago about the Shiller estimate of PEs and saying that it was really quite overstretched and that we were at historically high levels. And so the Fed probably picked up on that when they said that valuations were stretched about 6 months ago. Well, since then, the market has not stopped going up. In fact, what we've seen is that the majority of US indices have pushed on to new all-time highs. Well, they were relatively unchanged in here today. And we continue to see that the market is really very, really quite steady, and we're back in positive territory for the year. That's not to ignore the fact that the market's been going up for almost six consecutive years, and that we can argue about whether valuations are stretched or how stretched they are, and depending on whether one looks at PEs or looks at the cash yield or cash balances or earnings yield, then you can come up with different conclusions. Well, from our perspective, we look at the consistency of the trend, and a consistent trend is a trend in motion. A trend in motion is one that consolidates and breaks out, and consolidates and breaks out, and that's exactly what the market is continuing to do. Well, if it stops doing that, it'll be pretty clear on the chart. Consistent charts are generally those that are easiest to analyze from a behavioral technical analysis perspective. We'd have to see failed upside breaks. We'd have to see breaks and progressions of higher reaction lows and sustained moves below 200-day moving averages before we would have conclusive evidence that we've hit a medium-term peak. Well, we've also seen that Wall Street has broken out of a 13-year range, and it has been extending that advance. Well, back in 1982, the market broke out of a 15-year range and rallied spectacularly and then came back to test the upper side. Well, for the S&P, that would be a 500-point pullback. It would be probably considered a doomsday scenario by a lot of investors, which is probably one of the reasons that people are getting a little bit antsy. Well, of course, when you have a reasonably mature market, it's also that people start to look for value. They start to look for catch-up potential. Europe at present represents perhaps the most compelling catch-up potential, not least because the ECB is going to print €1 trillion within the next 18 months. The Euro stocks is still considerably below where it was in 2007. You can't say that about any of the US indices. So when people are looking around and they see that on a currency-adjusted basis, the DAX or the CAC is up 6.6 or 6.3%, and on a on a euro basis, that's over 13%. The Italian index is up over 15% in euro terms, and the Swedish index is up over 14%. Well, not surprisingly, people are looking at the prospect of hedging their exposure to Europe in much the same way that they were hedging their exposure to Japan 18 months ago. Well, that's a logical progression, not least because interest rates are so low that hedging is very cheap. If we were talking about hedging exposure to a declining euro. If and interest rates were 5%, well, that would be a considerably more expensive proposition. But in the current environment, with interest rates as near as zero, as makes no matter, then the argument for having a hedged exposure is pretty well made. What I find interesting is that people are worried about valuations on Wall Street, and they look at Europe and see catch-up potential, and certainly there is, that Japan is still printing really prodigious amounts of yen, so the potential for asset price inflation there is well made. That the potential for property prices in Germany to increase is reasonably well made as well. Then you go back and look at China, and that the prospect of interest rates coming down, for the banks to have looser lending requirements and lower reserve requirements in order to, I guess, to blunt the blow of declining property prices, well, that's all generally positive for the stock market. And against that background, Hong Kong is just cheap. That really the market's gone nowhere for much of the last 2 or 3 years, and that it's at the upper side of the range. Well, if one were looking for value, then that's one of the places where you would have a difficult time arguing that the market is expensive, when you have yields in the region of 4 and 5% and PEs, forward PEs, in the region of 8 and 9. When we take a broader perspective, that oil prices have pulled back very violently, and they've certainly steadied over the last few weeks. But Brent crude has rallied really quite a bit more than WTI, and they were both down in excess of a dollar here today. Well, WTI crude is down $1.32. It's really testing the lower side of this short-term range. And, well, it'll have to rally tomorrow if we're not going to see a retest of the lows becoming a much more realistic possibility, and the prospect of quite a bit of additional ranging at pretty depressed levels. Certainly the rig count has fallen, but the interval between the rig count falling and supply declining, we don't exactly know when that will be, but it could be upwards of 3 months, and we're just we're really just at the beginning of this. That countries like Oman, which is I think one of the only Middle Eastern countries outside of OPEC, is boosting its capacity to increase supply. And even within OPEC, there isn't any commitment to reduce supply. So it's pretty difficult to make a long-term bullish forecast for oil at the current juncture, that the chances are that we're going to be presented with a lot of volatility. That Brent does continue to look like it might be capable of rallying a bit further, but that its rally is likely to be nothing more than a reversion back towards the mean, and that we're in for a volatile trader's environment rather than an investment environment for really quite the foreseeable future. The long bond in the US is also worthy of mention, because it had, well, and I'm speaking in terms of the futures, that it did rally so very impressively all the way through December and January, and lost momentum and pulled back sharply in the month to date. Well, it was stronger by a full point in here today. It's come back to test the progression of higher reaction lows, and well, this is where you would anticipate that supply would, or that demand would be returning to dominance. It's back in the region of the 200-day moving average. It really would need to sustain a move below the 200-day moving average to suggest that yields are moving higher in any kind of meaningful way. Well, what I found particularly interesting with all this commentary about the fact that Wall Street is valuations are stretched, that you don't hear that about the bond market at all. That's regardless of the fact that the Fed has stopped buying, and that that interest rates are probably going to start rising again at some point this year. Well, they don't look to be particularly good value to me over the medium term. But that's, I guess, an academic argument when they found support today that the prospect of some additional yield compression in the very short term has increased. If we look just a little bit further into the commodity complex, that oil prices have been reasonably steady, but that generally speaking, the industrial metals, and particularly the LME metals outside of copper, have been really quite weak, and both nickel and aluminium are back on their lows, and this really is the area where they'll have to find support in order to demonstrate that demand is returning to dominance. And in the soft commodities, the weakness in coffee and in sugar is really quite abrupt, and well, it suggests that there is really plenty of supply and that speculators are becoming increasingly short in those markets. Well, the first upward dynamic is likely to start to pressure some of those shorts, but there's no evidence of it just yet. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.